Luke 7, verse 26. But what went you out to see? Excuse me, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. We're going to spend some time on prophet. This is the first time in Luke that the word prophet has been used, I think. It's the word prophetes in Greek. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-S. It comes from two root words. One is pro, which means before something, or not before in time, but before in presence. And phemi, to declare. And so the word prophet in the Bible doesn't have the same meaning as the word prophet in the English language understanding. Just like in Hebrew, the word prophet is nabi, and it means the bubbling forth, the springing forth of what happens in wine. Now, we'll do this. And the word much more than a prophet, much more is perisoteros. Which means exceedingly, exceedingly more than. Now, that word, much more, is translated more abundant, over much, abundantly, the more exceedingly, and it's always applied to the grace of God that He has given us. So wherever you look, and go to 1 Corinthians, we won't do that today, but 1 Corinthians 12, 23 and 24, it's more abundant. 2 Corinthians 2, 7, it's over much. 2 Corinthians 10:8, it's abundantly. Hebrews 2:1, it's more abundantly. And 1 Thessalonians 2:17, it's the more exceedingly. But it always is this idea of we can't even begin to understand the grace or the peace or the mercy. It's more abundantly than we can possibly understand. All right. But we're going to spend some time on this idea of prophet. And the New Testament is primarily one who speaks before another or a group of others. A preacher is a prophet. If he is preaching, he's a prophet. Now, let's go see one verse, and we'll do, otherwise none of this will make any sense. Let's go to Matthew 11. We looked at this yesterday, starting in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John the Baptist. Now think about that. The law, that meant the law was fulfilled in the proclamation of John, and though all of the previous prophets were fulfilled in the prophecy of, in the proclaiming of John. But we love to think that there are more prophets. And our understanding of a prophet is somebody that tells us what's going to happen in the future. And that's, from a Bible standpoint, nothing's going to happen in the future except that which no man knows the day or the hour.
These guys were preaching, though, right? They were prophesying of Christ's birth and the coming of Christ.
And so was the law. It was all a prophecy, a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all every word of the Old Testament was. But it's important that you get in this simple statement. All the law, all the prophets prophesied until John. It was all fulfilled. And so all these guys, otherwise you're going to be deceived by something. Somebody's going to come along and tell you, you know, that's why Z. It's going to happen. Well, it's not. I mean, it might happen, but it has nothing to do with them being a prophet. It has to do like, you know, Benny Hinn is standing up and saying, everybody's healed. Well, then one person is really healed. It may be. So let's see if we can begin to understand this word. Or the whole idea. In the Hebrew, in Hebrew, there are two words for prophet. One is rohe, R-O-E-H. And it meant a seer, S-E-E-R, seer. And it's one who had immediate presence of God. Like all of the oracles were called seers, not because they told the future, but because of they were speaking from the presence of. So this is maybe a little bit hard to understand, but let's see where the word seer is used. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. It's right after Ruth. So find the pages that are wine-stained, and then... How come my pages of Ruth are wine-stained? We don't drink wine, and... Anyway, chapter 9,
now you've got me off on a roof, and that was wrong.
Saul is chosen king here, and we're just going to read one verse. In verse 9, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. So for some reason, this point, when Saul was made king, then from that point forth, they were no more called seers, they were called prophets. All right?
And that seer is just what it sounds like. They see. They are.
Well, I don't put any, I mean, that may be from our English language version of it. In Hebrew, it was roe. So, I mean, it's just fortuitous that it sounds like seer, one who sees, or seer. Now, then from then on, they use the word nabi, which was springing forth. So let's go to Numbers 11 and see what this is all about.
Before we go to Numbers 11, I have a question about that verse 9. So the nabi... Roy was the seer word, and the Nabi was the prophet word in that verse.
Yeah. Okay. Now we are going now to Numbers chapter 11. Want to read all this? What do you guess we have to? In verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people. Whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people. and officers over them, and being them unto the and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. He's talking, God's talking to Moses. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will also put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept. Well, we can go on and on about how they were complaining they had no flesh. We told them to eat nothing but flesh for 30 days, and they got all sick of it. And they sent quails that were 2 cubits high over the whole area, so they had more meat than they could ever. But the point of it is, he then appointed these 70 men, and by Moses' hand, God's Spirit was put on those 70. That's the beginning of the Sanhedrin. It later became 72 for some reason, which I don't understand yet. But these men also had supposedly the capacity for prophecy. Now, Moses was a lawgiver, but he was also a prophet in terms of how he's described in the Bible. So now let's look at one more. Amos 3. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall into a snare upon the earth where there is no trap or gin? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So there, it's saying that God always revealed the end result of prophecy to his people. Now, in ancient Israel, all the prophecies had to have two time frames. There had to be a time frame of that which would occur within their lifetime. And then there was also that, and then if they were prophesying of the future, it had to, what had happened in their lifetime, the prophecy had to be true down to the last jot and tittle, down to the smallest detail. If it wasn't true, then the prophet was killed, his family was killed, everything he had ever written was burned and destroyed, and his name was blotted out of Israel. Now, that's why I get a kick out of, you know, every year, a whole bunch of them do it, but I'll pick on Pat Roberts.
Pat Roberts.
He does it every year, his prophecies for the year 2011, 2012. And he may get one right or something close to it. Then he keeps doing it and does it again and does it again. There's all kinds of them that do this. And it's like, if only we would abide by the way that had to be in the Old Testament. No, I don't want them killed, but I wish they'd shut up. They're just deceiving the people.
It's very good to go back 20 years like I recently did and look at some of these, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's even weirder because it's like there's not even anything going on at all in the, whatever arena they were
talking about. Right, right, right. Oh, Benny Hinn was... I mean, it was just goofy. He said... what do you say about homosexuals will be destroyed and something about Cuba? They were just goofy things. But anyway, so that's the burden of a prophet. So it wasn't somebody, Isaiah didn't take on this position lightly. Jeremiah certainly didn't. And so it had to be this thing where the word was burning in their heart. They could do nothing else. Now, from our standpoint, the scriptures say, if we believe, we will prophesy. But it doesn't mean tell the future. It means we will always, that's why it says above in Corinthians, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. I would that you bubble forth always what's there. Never having a governor on you. Now, this is, it's happened a lot. Everybody says that, okay, I understand, and nobody does it. And the reason is you're so afraid of what you're going to say. And anybody know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Are there two different words for this prophecy where one is they told what was coming in the future?
That's what I just said. The two that I know of are Ruah, which meaning seer, and prophecy meaning speaking before. And again, all the Old Testament prophets, they spoke only of, and the law spoke only, they all of them ended, all their activities ended at John the Baptist. All the law and the prophets prophesied until John.
But their prophecies pertain to the coming.
All the prophecies.
Like Daniel.
Right, or even the ones in Jeremiah pertaining to the destruction. Those prophecies still, when we read them, should bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, even though it already happened, so that we see what happened to them.
And the prophecy that comes forth now is of that which is
right.
Come.
And right.
That's the point we speak from.
Right, and that's why a preacher is called a prophet in the New Testament. Because you should speak before without any interference from the faces of men. That's why Jesus said, if you're his disciple, you'll be hated of all men. Because you'll be a threat to the existence of every form of thought in your particular world.
What's a necromancer?
One who consults the dead.
What's that other? There's something in there about, in that same verse, isn't there, about somebody who, there's obviously a difference between what they're referring to and a prophet.
Yeah, well, let's go there. Let's go to, I think it's Deuteronomy 13. But I may be wrong. I was right. It'll change. What? Verse 12. Well, we have to really... we've got time. Let's start in verse chapter 1. I mean, verse chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth or testeth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what that means is God allowed or led or caused this prophet to prophesy false crap to test the people. All right? You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother and the son of thy mother, or thy son or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness that is among you. Well, that's pretty intense. Why? Because the mystery had to be protected. Just as the seed had to be protected. That's why all of this violence took place. Amen?
Amen. That's pretty wild.
You can't be part of that without being proved. You hear and know.
Right. That's why, I mean, it happens to us every day. Something's starting crying, and you want to give it breath.
It's the revenging, the disobedience.
Right.
Right.
This is all now inward. So if your mind strays, so you're going after something that the world is going after, or you're agreeing with something, what you do, you gotta see this has to happen in you. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down every imagination, every high place.
Yeah, this should be a very fearful thing to see that you might not be proved or not be yielded to the...
Well, that's why we exhort one another daily. That's why my only positive that I can ever even believe, if I look at me, that has happened. The only thing is the consistency of the message from 10,000 different directions. Other than that, I have no value. And that's what you must follow. You can't allow your mind to be seduced into some crap that's going on in this particular age we're in. And if I see it, I'll exhort it. And if you see it in me, you exhort it. Now, look, we're not done yet here. And if thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Then thou shalt inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and a thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be a heap forever, and it shall not be built again. And there shall cleave none of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, and to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. That's pretty intense. Now, just think, stop and think about how much of Christianity has been seduced. Let's just for the sake of discussion, let's assume that what I've been teaching for all these years is right. Let's just make that assumption. Then something is wrong. Something is going on that is really evil. The greatest apostasy in the history of the earth.
What is apostasy? I've heard that word.
You just asked me that 3 days ago.
I forgot.
Falling away from the truth.
Thank you.
I was thinking about this thing that C.S. Lewis was asked about. You know, the psalm, I guess, where we're taking the little babies and, you know, smashing them against the rocks. But you know, that's what, like David was saying, you know,
right,
his enemies and Philistines or whatever, you know, Lord, do this. You know, and he said exactly what we're talking about. He said this is, you know, an inward revelation of the little baby Assyrians grow up to be big warrior Assyrians who will,
well, but the battle now isn't like external, it's inward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He said it's inside you. It grows up to be a big thing later. It seems cute right now.
I mean, this is why there's another. We're going to do it. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Starting verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that's the fundamental thing. From my perspective, we have come into the land. And that land is the New Jerusalem. Amen? Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Now, as we talked, we went through this many times over the years, but that everything that's in that few verses that sounds so evil, necromancer, consulter of spirits, etc., 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 that is all your mind is capable of doing. You're a necromancer because you still worship and give breath to the past. And I mean, we could go on and on and on. This is why abandonment of self. And you cannot do anything, your mind, from the God's perspective, the only thing your mind does is repent. The only thing your emotions do is remind you of your need for him. But you repent of them. You don't give them bread.
Yeah, this, I mean, it's contrasted with the prophet, you know, that he will bring, you know, the next verse, which is like,
oh, it's, yeah, it's about Christ.
He's the prophet I'll raise up from the midst of thee. And all the other prophets were just speaking from that same position.
Amen.
Christ. So it's contrasted with all the other ways of figuring out stuff and coming up with future or whatever.
Now, if you believe this, and if this is what you can say you agree to, and you, or if it, or even if it isn't, you agree to it. You don't. If you don't agree, then your silence is a witness against you. If you agree and you see yourself doing it, you cannot say to God, "Well, I'm gonna continue to do this until you do something about it or something." The repentance has to be the instant response. If there's something you don't understand, you don't try to figure out with your mind, is Father, forgive me for not understanding. That's the only way I've ever seen anything. Amen? Anybody have anything else? This is kind of important.
I'm just thinking that this is how Christ walked. He too was Son of Man, so he had desires.
Total abandonment.
Yeah, everything about man was in him. So he walked in repentance. And I'm just thinking while you're talking a minute ago that what part of me repents? It's that Christ in me causes, hears.
No. No, you've got to hear the repentance. The only thing this mind can do is repent. Once, because that's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so important. It's vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. All is futile, futility, empty. That's what this thing is. The only thing it can do, if it's resurrected, it's Father, forgive me.
If it's resurrected?
If you go off on a tangent and you got, well, this is, I'm going to do this and this is what, but it's a, then you will see, because you've seen it, you've heard it, the preaching of the cross, wait a minute, I'm doing it again. And Father, forgive me for resurrecting the evil. Now, this is always, this issue is huge, because, and Paul couldn't even describe it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Yet not I. The only thing the I can do is repent.
That is the Christ.
Well, yeah, but you got to get to a point where there's no separation. You don't see it as separate. No, listen. I'm saying when that the best example, when Christ said, "Father, my soul is troubled," he was speaking as Son of Man. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? Then repents. No. For this hour came I unto the world. Now, that was his Son of Man response.
So the Son of Man has the ability to make that choice to repent.
Not a choice. It's when you've seen the end of everything else. This was the fruit of his baptism. But then the intensity of the struggle and the suffering, and we don't know how many other times it happened, but we know there that it caused him to have, resurrect the Son of Man. And it says, "Father," but he admitted it, "Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this?" Could have said that. "No, for this hour came I unto the world." Now, the same, you got to quit thinking about two.
Man,
he was sold. The moment of self-awareness was, "My Father, my soul is troubled."
Right.
That caused the self-awareness.
Right. Followed up with that question.
Yeah, but remember, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's double-minded because he still is battling between personas. I just had a long talk with Nick about this because he's always talking about how, you know, I'm just a piece of crap. Well, that. You know, that's true, but you don't think about it. Yeah, it's buried. But now you're just one. And so, but if you find yourself leaving that moment, as Christ did when he was, "Father, my soul is troubled," no.
Well, I struggle with immediacy and waiting at times.
Well, so does everybody. Do you understand why it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways?
Yeah, that's the man who hasn't repented and is trying to bring the two kingdoms together and be satisfied with that.
No, if he brings them together, then he's not double-minded. If he gives breath to anything and says, he's not double-minded. He's just a goofball because he's putting the name of God in his flesh. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Is this connecting? Or
am I... What was the answer?
Yeah. Double-minded man is a hypocrite.
Well, he didn't even know. No. He's just unstable. He's living in two worlds. Think on this, muse on this, pray on this.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.